So what do? When you're in the cold, dark place, how do you encourage yourself? How do you encourage others? Because Frank and Cassie all along have been an encouragement to all their community, to the people around them, to Ray. They brought him from homelessness to proud business owner, now homeowner. They started the community center. What do? Well, look at your notes this morning. We know what to do. Sometimes we just need a reminder. It's there in that memory verse. Paul writes, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Paul and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, and there's about 8,000 of them, they are always yes in Christ." So the first thing that I want you to see this morning is this: God loves us more than we can imagine. God loves us more than we can imagine. He is more loving, He is more kind, He is more forgiving than we often think that He is. I know as God's people, sometimes we lose sight of that. I want to tell you a little story this morning. It is Epiphany, so I have to do a little Epiphany story. Little light story. So how many of you have ever been an acolyte? Anybody? A lot of you. Do you remember the very first time you were an acolyte? You know, I think for a lot of us, the very first time it's on par of, for those of us who are my age, questioning Sunday for confirmation. Do you remember those? Where you sat up here in front of the entire congregation and everyone's eyes were on you and you had to recite portions of the catechism. And it was frightening. It's probably why not many churches do that anymore. And your first time as an acolyte was very much like that. So imagine this little kid, he's going up here, now he's practiced, because the altar guild would never let you do this without practice. So he's practiced, but on shorter candles. Now, Travis is not a big kid. And so now they have the tall, majestic candles there on the altar. And he's looking, and of course everyone is looking at him, and he goes up there, he has his candlestick, he has his lighter, and he reaches up as he should, but he's too short. It's only an inch or two, but still, an inch or two, he's too short, he can't light it. So what do? Well, there's always two candles, so if you can't light one, maybe you can light the other. So he tries for the other, but it doesn't work either. So then he looks at his mom and dad, who are in the very front row, and he looks for help. And they're just there like deer in a headlight. Well, then what do? You look at the pastor. He's right there. I mean, he's the guy who's supposed to be the encourager, the shepherd, the helper. But what's he doing? Now, he's reviewing his sermon because he hasn't practiced it enough yet. So he's no help. So poor Travis, shoulder slump. Little tear coming down his face. A picture of a lot of us on our journey with the Lord. We strive and we strive and we try and do the right thing. We try and please God and we try to be an encourager to others and we try to lead a generous life. And then when we need the encouragement, there is no one there for us. What do? We remember again that God loves us more than we can imagine and that His promises are always yes. Now, there's 8,000 of them. I didn't put all of them in your notes, but I did give you four, so let's take a quick look at those. The first one is peace. How many of you would like a little peace in your life? Anybody? A little less stress, a little less anxiety? Let me just ask you, how were the holidays? How are the holidays? Anybody spend them with family? Get a little stress on that? Let me tell you about my Christmas real quickly. Now, we had six services, so that was a little busy. And then, right after that, my wife's family came to town. It was a little stressful because this is a family of girls. You know, those of you that have girls know what I'm talking about. The rest of you can say, shame on you for saying that about your wife's family. I come from a family of boys. I can do this. So then, as soon as they left, and I mean as soon as they left, immediately when they left last Friday, we immediately took off for St. Louis. We stayed a night there, and then we went to Memphis because my nephew was getting married. We spent a couple of days there. We immediately came back, and then more family came to town. And they left about 30 minutes ago. Thank God. I didn't say that. I love my wife's family. They're wonderful people. This was my nephew and his girlfriend and my niece. We had a great time. My two boys were there. And then, on top of all of that, yesterday I was in a car accident. So, it's been a little stressful. It's no different than your life. We all have the weight of the world. We all have things going on. We are all busy. And yet, we forget the promise that God makes that you can have peace. Not like the world gives, not necessarily a less busy schedule, not necessarily a great relationship with every person around you, but an inner peace that God will give to you if you simply trust His promise. What else? He promises eternal life. Have you ever unpacked that word, eternal? It's not just forever. It's abundant. It's joyful. It's the very best relationship with the Lord that anyone could ever imagine. And it goes on and on and on, and it is unconditional. No matter what you do, God is going to love you. Just like promise number three, that forgiveness thing. Just as we did this morning, you confessed your sins, and God is always faithful and just. He doesn't say, not quite good enough. He doesn't say, no, you got to mean it a little bit more. He doesn't say, you got to give a little bit more before I will forgive you. He says, I forgive you. Simply because you are connected to Jesus Christ, my Son, through the blood that was shed there on the cross, your sins are as far as the east is from the west, and so is all your guilt and shame. And then he promises, it kind of sums it all up, he promises to meet all your need. Not some, not just a few, all of them. God's promises are always yes. Letter B says, Christ is God's yes to humanity, to everyone, to people all over the earth. Which tells us that we are special people. Again, not because of what we do, not because of what we strive to do, but because we are simply the children of God, and simply because our Father loves us so much. Now, how many of you have children? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you, a lot of parents. Dads, raise your hand. How many dads we got? A lot of dads. Okay, I'll tell you a little dad story. When we moved to Crystal Lake 11 years ago, for those of you who don't know, our oldest son is autistic, and he loves the water, and he loves horses. Loves to ride horses, loves to swim. We came from Atlanta. Every neighborhood has a pool. It was wonderful. We moved to Crystal Lake. They didn't tell us there is no pool. Did you know that? Anybody? How come you didn't tell me? There's no pool in Crystal Lake unless you go to the health club, right? Or the lake, and that is not a pool. I'm just saying. So, what did we do? We dug our own pool so Philip could swim. And he did. And, of course, the other boys, they were younger, and they are growing up, and they learn to love the water, and they get confidence. In the beginning, you know, they'd be there on the diving board and, you know, just kind of do that right there. And then I'd have to push them in so they would go. But finally, they get to the point where they're very confident. And now, they'd be on the diving board, I would be in the pool, and I would hear this voice from behind me. Hey, Dad, catch me. Now, shouldn't you first yell, hey, Dad, and then jump? But no, they jump, and then, hey, Dad. Oh. Why do they do that? Because they're kids, right? And because they trust their father. That's our Heavenly Father. We can trust Him. His promises are always true. And so we can live this life to our full potential. We can take risks for the Lord. We can do things knowing that our God is always there to catch us. Not because of what we've done. Not because we strive to be the best, but because we are the children of God and our Father loves us. How much? So much that He would send Jesus Christ to the cross, His only Son, there to die in our place so we could have that eternal life and that forgiveness and all those other promises that He gives. So a question for you today, there in your notes. It's a question I asked once of an elderly lady of an earlier church that I served. Pillar of the church, a faithful woman, just a wonderful lady. She knew that she didn't have much time left in this earth, so I asked the question, if you had your life to live over, what would you do differently? Good question. Especially at the beginning of the year, right? If you had your life, no matter what age, if you had your life to live over. Now, I was expecting, well, I'd spend more time with family, good answer. I'd spend less time working, good answer. Maybe she would travel. But the answer she gave truly blew me away. I asked the question, and she said, I would believe God more. She's already a faithful lady. She's already a follower of Christ. She's already a pillar of the church. And she said, if I had it all to do over again, I would believe God more. In other words, I would believe Him all the time. I would trust Him all the time. Even when I'm in that cold, dark place. And we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there. Some of you are there now. The holidays were not the joyful time of the year that they're intended to be because you have a grief or you have a loss or you have a change or a crisis or a challenge. And your heart feels as cold as the weather has been outside and you wonder, how am I going to get through all this? I would believe God more. Because, you know, the good news is God loves us more than we could ever imagine, but the gooder news, is that a word? The gooder news is the best is yet to come. If you're in that cold, dark place, the best is yet to come. You're not going to stay there. Like that tulip bulb or like that seed, you got to be there for a while so your potential isn't wasted. And at the proper time, which is God's time, when the sun comes out and the rain comes down, you will grow and sprout and bloom and be the person God intends you to be. And if not in this life, it will be in the next. Because this is our life and this is eternal life. The best is yet to come. God guarantees. You know what a guarantee is, don't you? I need a new car. I'm going to go to the dealer when I get back from the mission trip this next week and put a deposit on a car. And then later on, I get to pick it up, right? You do the same thing on your house. You put down a mortgage. You do the same thing with your kids' education. We call that tuition. And the trajectory then is always up, right? God guarantees your trajectory is always up. He's put His Spirit there in your heart as the guarantee. The time of your baptism. And He said, my promises are always going to be true. And so another question, why then do we get down in the dumps? Why do we do that? We know God's promises are true. We've got 8,000 of them. We looked through the whole Bible. We've seen they've all been fulfilled. Why do we get down in the dumps? Because we focus on our own circumstances, don't we? We focus on ourselves rather than on the promises of God. So another little story to close with. A man by the name of David Ring. I don't know if anybody's familiar with him. One of the most inspirational people that I've ever read about. Never met the guy, but read his book called Just As I Am. Look it up on Amazon. You can buy it for like $3. David Ring was born dead. Meaning, for 18 minutes, there was no oxygen to his brain. He has cerebral palsy. So he can't talk like us. He can't walk like us. Simple tasks like eating, dressing, incredible challenge. And yet last year he spoke at over 200 different churches sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and what it means if we just take our eyes off our, in his case, crippled legs, withered arms. When he doesn't focus on the fact that he lost his mother when he was 14 years old, that he doesn't have a daddy, that he was passed around as an orphan from house to house to house, when he takes his eyes off of that and puts his eyes back on the promises of God, he says, I don't have a disability. I've got a tool that God can use to encourage others. In fact, I have a blessing that God has given to me. When we're focusing on our circumstances, we can't see God's promises clearly. As you heard before, sometimes, you'll put this up in the notes, sometimes we've got to be in the dark for a while in order to bloom. David Ring says that God's grace is sufficient. I think it says that in the Bible somewhere. It's one of those 8,000 promises. God's grace is always sufficient. So that's my prayer for all of you. In the new year, in this season of Epiphany, that you would say yes to the promises of God, knowing they are always true, and that the best is yet to come.